This is an interview with John Palermo, County Commissioner, Youngstown State University Oral History Project, concerning shutdown of Youngstown Sheet and Two, by Philip Bracey at County Commissioner's Office on Tuesday, April 7th, 1981, 8:30 a.m.
May 2nd, 1938, lived all my life in Mahoning County, the city of Youngstown, except for 2 years that I spent in the service from August of 57 through August of 59. At that period, I served in the Army and spent 18 months of that tour in Germany. Prior to entering the service, I was a student at local schools, Immaculate Conception School on the east side of Youngstown, then East High School, where I graduated. Went on to Youngstown State. At that time it was college, it was not university yet. I spent a year in school and felt at that time that I had a service obligation that, as of that stage of history, was involved. So I thought it best that I would get that obligation over with. So I went into the service for 2 years at the age of 19, come out at the age of 21.
That was approximately what year?
1959. I enrolled back at Youngstown State. At that time, I was working part-time at the Mahoning County Engineer's Office and going to school. I attended school for approximately 2 years on a part-time basis, pursuing a degree in business administration. 1961, I was married. Still continued part-time education at Youngstown State, and at that time then began working full-time at the Mahoning County Engineer's Office. In 1962, I took a civil service examination for a police officer's position in the Youngstown Police Department. I was successful and appointed to that position in October of 1962. I still was able to proceed to Youngstown for a short period of time, but the nature of the job that I was on, which was a rotating position of night turning afternoon shifts, prevented me from going to school on my old schedule, so I then dropped out. I did go back later on a part-time basis, taking at various police science courses, etc. But I spent 6 years on the Youngstown Police Department from October of 1968 from October of 1962 through October of 1968. At that time, there was a vacancy created in the Office of County Commissioner by the passing of my father, who had been a county commissioner for a period of 12 years, and was approached to fill out his term and to seek the office in the November election. I decided at that time that I would give it a try, and I...
Okay, this would be November of what year?
November of 1968. I ran for the office of county commissioner, full term beginning January of 1969. I was successful, and have fortunately been successful in other attempts in 72 and 76 and also 1980. So I've had 12 years completed in office, and I'm working in my 13th right now. Could also give you a little background on family if you'd like that.
Yes, if you would, yes.
We have 4 children, married to June Muscatello, who is a former decider, and we knew each other for a number of years. School, etc. We have 4 children. John, who is 18, soon be 19. He's a freshman at Youngstown State University. Susan, who is 17, is a senior at Cheney High School, who will hopefully be a freshman at Youngstown State University in the fall. Marie is 15, and she's a freshman at Cheney High School. And Pamela is 12, and she is in the 6th grade at Volney Rogers Junior High School. So we I have a beautiful family and I'm very happy about that.
Could you tell me where you were and how you found out about the shutdown of the Youngstown Sheet and Tube?
On the morning of the announcement, I was in the boardroom of Youngstown Sheet and Tube on Market Street in Youngstown, Ohio, in Boardman Township. There were a number of people invited to be for an announcement. Nobody knowing, I don't think, what involvement or what to what degree it would take the community. Some had ideas possibly that maybe a cutback, an announcement possibly of some standards, EPA rules, regulations, etc., something to having to do with steel making, certainly we knew, but as far as impact, I don't think anybody in the room really, other than those that were going to make the announcement, I'm talking about those other 20 or so people there that were invited. I think that when the announcement was first made, it was kind of stunned the majority of the people. I don't think the impact was really felt until a few minutes later, until you really heard or digested what was said, that Sheet and Tube was in such difficult straits, and that the consideration of closing down had been made. The initial impact was certainly the initial reaction on my part was amazement, you might say, because it's naturally you start thinking, your mind starts racing as to what's going to happen down the road. County certainly had being a unit of government is going to have to be called upon for services somewhere down the line, and how is this going to impact on us? We were concerned certainly about the steel workers and those who were going to receive the announcement of their loss of employment, and their families certainly. Many of them were my friends who had worked for many years in the mills. I would say that the initial impact was one in the room of kind of quiet, and then everybody kind of trying to find out just exactly what we were in for the next few years.
Were there any meetings directly following that announcement? I mean, I realize that all of a sudden this impact is going to be there. You're going to be faced with more demand for service, really. Were there any?
Certainly there was discussion about how, would be the best method or best way of trying to approach the problem. We did talk with people from our services, mainly the County Welfare Department, which we felt certainly was going to be involved in this at some point along the line. To what degree, nobody knew. But of course, you always think of the worst sometimes in those kind of situations, and you anticipate, that some things that may never develop. But there were meetings with the Welfare Department, the director, etc., to discuss various methods and problems as to what might arise. Of course, we knew that that there would be a period of time where they would be receiving benefits, different unemployment insurance, etc., where there wouldn't be no great rush, directly down to the Welfare Department the next day or next week. There was talk about, different committees that were forming. We as a county, as the commissioner, didn't feel that it was proper at the time to go out and form another committee. There were a number that were coming about. So we thought it best that we would work within the existing structure of the existing committees, that we could best serve that way rather than going out and forming another one. And this is the way it was approached on the county's part.
Did the company, did Sheet and Tube provide you with any kind of list of approximately how many people you'd be dealing with? I mean, I know there was 5,000 that was announced that would be laid off, but did they give you any kind of assistance in terms of, you know, the type, who and all that business?
Not that I could recall that they provided a list. I think that they would provide any information that they possibly could if they were called upon. A lot of the people that were involved in this were not from Mahoning County even. They resided in other counties, even though the job sites were here. But they didn't live here. Many lived in Pennsylvania. They commuted. So the total impact wasn't, you know, our portion of the welfare will take, wasn't centered just specifically there with that many jobs. Of course, also involved in this thing were other problems that become critical when you have high unemployment and when you have people who are in a state of flux, so to speak, where, you know, they're out of a job. And we were concerned about other things and talked with people from mental health services, etc., where yeah. They felt that their caseloads were going to be increasing because of possibility of marital problems, you know, resulting husband being laid off, financial problems within the home. Maybe some cases, this was talked about, where they may take to with a lot of free time, excessive drinking, things like this. Yeah. I'm not saying that this happened in a whole lot of instances, but it did play a part, and they were concerned about this on the mental health level.
Yeah, I believe Urban Studies at the university had tried to initiate some of that. Could you tell me a little bit about how the county commissioners became involved in the Mahoning Valley Economic Development Committee?
Well, we were asked, and of course we expressed an interest as commissioners because of our part that we were going to play in the total program eventually. To join in the Mahoning Valley Economic and Development Committee. We had representation on that board by Commissioner Bindus, who still sits on the board, and he was on from the beginning. He has attended the meetings, and he has been our kind of our input into the association. They have tried through various methods to the community, you know.
Do you know how that was an issue? Did somebody from somebody's office call you or any?
I don't know. I think probably it was a dual method. I think we expressed interest, and I think that at that time the board was realizing the problem, was considering, you know, how they were going to attack it. We were, on the other hand, wondering how we would best play a part in it. And it was kind of like a combination of the two. I don't think any one suggested the other. It was just kind of like a melting of the two together.
Were there any specific projects that you were approached, let's say, from MedVac or anybody else as far as, or even just addressing your own problems with the possible increase of welfare down the road, even though initially you weren't faced with it?
With welfare?
Yeah. Did you have to apply for, I don't know what the process is.
No, not really. We met with the welfare department on a couple of different occasions. In fact, we had some contact with Dr. Redberg, who was from Youngstown State University, on a couple of occasions where, you know, meetings took place to discuss this. And people, I believe there were participants there from the Bureau of Employment Services, trying to feel what the impact was going to be, get some, you know, feel for it. Eventually, in fact, it was a lot softer at the beginning than I thought it would be. I really was a little concerned at the beginning, you know, it was going to be a tremendous impact at one time. And I think this was our concern of talking with the welfare department immediately, you know, to try to discuss any emergency type measures. But whatever happened, come in slowly. And in fact, after a period of time, we were wondering, you know, if in fact it was that going to be that great of a crisis or if it was going to hit all at once, you know. But I think the fact that, you know, the benefits were stretched out and a number of other things that kind of didn't hit us initially at one time.
Did you have any idea of what kind of numbers you were talking about? You mentioned earlier that the employment wasn't necessarily focused in Mahoney County, per se. Did the company, or did you have any way of ascertaining the process?
Well, at one time, the welfare department was going to try to keep statistics on this. I don't know the, right offhand.
Oh, no, I meant,
figures. I think, though, that many people, myself included, we had a large population from Mahoney County that worked in the mills, too, but as I mentioned in the past, that a lot of these people were from other areas, and they didn't impact on our local welfare problem as far as, there weren't 5,000 families. There's over 5,000 jobs talked about being lost. All those people weren't, didn't fall into the Mahoney County Welfare Department roles. We did have a portion of it, but significantly, it didn't make that great of an impact at that initial point. It did later on, where they started to pick them up.
But there was no, assistance asked, let's say, in particular, let's say, MedVac or Mahoney Valley Economic Development Committee. Was there any programs or anything that they would have had to, or consult with you? Well, not necessarily just consult, because you did, not you personally, but the commissioners did participate. Was there any project that you recall, that would be directly related to those efforts?
I had a meeting at the Walton Union Hall with all the sheet and tube employees that were interested in coming. With the welfare director, they had different agencies come in to explain what the programs were to, so they could be explained to the men in the mills what their procedures would be.
And do you recall what date that was, approximately?
It would be about 1977. In September.
Okay. That would have been just right after the shutdown then.
A lot of these things took place real quick because everybody was running a little scared at the time, not knowing the initial impact of what it would be. But it, like I say, it kind of leveled off, and the committees and that began forming, and of course their lobbying efforts developed, and everybody had ideas of how they should accomplish their goal. We've always felt, I think, that our part would best be served if we would try to carry on our services, certainly, and then again to try to encourage new industry to come in and develop some of the areas that we have where sewer and water could become available and acreage for future development. So this was the way that we tried to approach it, and we tried to work through the federal agencies, through economic development or whatever, to try to secure federal monies for sewer lines. Sewage treatment plants, upgrading those facilities, because the foundation for growth and is certainly utilities, and we tried to move in that direction.
Do you think there was a feeling among the commissioners of support, let's say, for a specific project? For instance, there were at least two major ones that I know that were put forward, the Economic Coalition's reopening under community workers and Mayor Richley's and MedVac's Steel Research Center, although there was no competition per se. Do you think there was any feeling of support for one more than the other? Or?
I think everybody deep down inside would like to see the mills reopen, but I think they knew also deep down inside that it was very unlikely that this was going to happen. If, at least in my opinion, if major companies couldn't see fit to operate and make a profit, and studies had shown that it was marginal kind of a thing, and it left kind of a little bit of in your mind as to whether or not it could be made a profit-making organization. Everybody would like to see it. Everybody would like to see full employment again. We'd like to see all these things, come back to normal. But I think that some of the things were,
well, then your
shots in the dark, so to speak.
Then your hope collectively was for just jobs, as long as it was,
I think this is true. I think that we recognized that we needed jobs in the community, and we still certainly need jobs. This is, what we've tried to encourage on the commissioner's level. any kind of development or any future expansion, even additions to existing, building on existing industries, which is, I think, key to the whole thing, is keeping what we have and building from that base, 10 jobs here, 20 jobs there, and eventually you have 100 jobs. The Lordstown plants that come in the community aircraft, where they come in with large numbers of jobs, those things happen every 25 years maybe to a community possibly. I think Lordstown probably goes back to 25 years ago. It doesn't seem that long, but I think that's about when it started. You know, somewhere in the late 50s, that place was talked about. So those are the... Excuse me. Those are the kind of things that I think we have to build on, and that's what we've always taken that position. The mills was talked about for a number of years were marginal, you know, and you could see that they were increased pressure from for EPA standards, whether it be in the matter of smoke control, emissions, or pollution as far as dumping into the river or whatever. All these kind of things were very costly for them, and possibly the transportation problem, certainly that didn't help us anywhere. We were kind of an inland steel making facility, didn't have a low cost service area, you know, by water transportation. All these things kind of were against us, so to speak, and we were just hoping that we could pull through and reopen some of them, but I think we knew a crisis was coming.
Do you feel that, and I'm really going to put you on a limb, that the response of the various groups was adequate for the crisis?
I think so. I think that they there was a tremendous impact on the total community. People were very alarmed. I think the part that the clergy played was, you know, kind of had a way of soothing things, of pulling the community together and not having everybody run out and, you know, helter-skelter. They formed committees and organizations, and they tried to, you know, put some impact on the thing and to find out the reasons and the possibilities of reopening, what their chances were, what it would cost. Those things were questions that I think the community wanted to know. And also I feel that the clergy, there's a certain degree of credibility when clergy speak. And I think that they, you know, their part was, at that time, was really a service to the community.
In your opinion, do you think that the Youngstown area will recover from this, or do you believe the doomsayers that will lose industry to the Sun Belt and, you know, that whole doomsday scenario?
I don't believe in the doomsday scenario at all. I think the Youngstown is going to recover, and I think the Mahoning Valley is going to recover, but I think it's going to take us a little bit of time. It's not something that we're going to do, you know, tomorrow or overnight. It's going to be, we've got too much going for us in this area. We have a good road network, we have a lot of water. We have, we could always, you know, the ability to treat sewage and all those things. You could do those kind of things. You can't make water. I think that the transportation system is fine. It's, in some cases, it has to be upgraded, maybe through the railroad, etc. But as far as the road network, we don't have a better road network anywhere in the country, I don't think, than passes right through this community. I think that the key to the whole thing, again, is being able to provide and be competitive with other parts of the country. That's what I think industry is looking for. Any new industry that wants to come in, certainly if you were interested in expanding or relocating your industry right now, you'd be looking for the best possible deal that you could get. You don't want to go into a community that's going to say, well, we'll have a sewer line for you in 3 years from now. You know, you're not concerned about the year of 1984, 85, you're talking about 1981. Is that sewer available now? Will your treatment plant meet the standards that the EPA is putting out? You know, all these kind of things. Well, could I get water and as much as I need? You know, do you have the ability to provide? How far is it to the interstate system? Those are the kind of things that we could answer positively to. And I think that that's going to be our advantage down the line, because with the cost of fuel, and we certainly rely heavily on road transportation now. And you know, the closer you get to the public, you might say, or to that group of people that's going to purchase your product, the less costly it's going to be for you. And I think we have a good labor pool. It's always been stated that way in our community. You know, we've heard this from a number of studies, that the productivity of the people of this general area is very high. Their skills are great, and they're able to do a good day's work.
Okay. Thank you very much, Commissioner Blaine.